Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
In the quietest corners of our memories, we all have something, a feeling, a figure, perhaps even a shadow, that we cannot quite explain. For some, it's a fleeting thought. For others, it becomes something that refuses to stay hidden. What happens when these childhood memories resurface only to turn into something far darker, something that cannot be so easily dismissed? Tonight we bring you the strange, unsettling tale of one individual's encounter with a presence that should have stayed in the past, but instead returned to haunt their every waking moment. An innocent figure, the mailman, once a comfort from their childhood, is now a source of terror. What begins as a whisper of the past soon evolves into a relentless force that presses closer and closer, demanding something no one can fully understand. Is it a haunting, a figment of the mind, or something far worse, something that wants more than just a place at the table? One question remains. What does the mailman really want? Let's get to the letter they write. Dear Tony, my name is Bobby. I don't really know what to do about what's been going on. I've tried talking to people about this, but they just stare at me like I'm crazy, so I've brushed it off as coincidences and too much TV. I can't deny it anymore. I don't know what this is, but it's scaring me, and I'm honestly afraid that this will escalate to something I can't handle and that I can't ignore. When I was young, I had an imaginary friend. Everyone did, I'm sure. Didn't you have someone you could rely on to just sit and listen to your everyday problems? I had a mailman. I don't know if that's what I really called him, but Mom always says that when we would eat dinner, there had to be a place for the mailman, and I would always ask if the mailman could come with us to the zoo. Mom humored me. Dad discouraged it. Mom and I were digging through photos a few months ago, ones that were so old they had been snapped with a Polaroid and developed a sepia tint over time. Mom yanked an old photograph that had been wedged in my baby book out of its confines and handed it over to me. She circled with her long, skinny finger the open seat that I was sitting next to. "That is the mailman," she laughed lightly. "There was a designated chair for him at your tea table, even." I brushed the picture with my fingers and felt an overwhelming sense of despair wash over me. I wanted that moment back desperately. Needless to say, traveling back through memory lane was cut short, and I locked myself up in my room, feigning cramps and teenage hormones. I had fitful dreams that night. I wrestled my blankets and pillows, and when I awoke the next morning, I could recall dreaming about a black figure. I want to say he was tall, almost abnormally so. He brushed the low ceilings in my playroom and was all blocky. A wide black hat that resembled what the men in the 70s who delivered milk would wear was atop his head. He had no specific features, though. He was all black. I couldn't see his face, hands, skin, eyes, nothing. It was like a shadow, almost, in the way that you see the outline of a person but not the features. In the dream, the man sat next to me as I poured pretend tea in a plastic pink cup. The man would pick up the cup and I would watch gleefully as he sipped it and pretended it was much too hot. I rambled happily to the man who remained quiet the whole conversation. The whole dream. I awoke in the middle of the man gesturing for more tea. I questioned my mom about the incident and she confirmed that yes, that sounded about what would happen during tea time with the mailman. She asked me why I asked, but I just shrugged it off. She was persistent, though. She claimed that I had found that same picture once before and acted weird afterward, and this time she wanted to know. "It's nothing, Mom. I just don't remember him. Or it... The last time you did this, you were around 10. You kept that picture in your room for weeks and finally fessed up that it was visiting you again. You told me that you woke up in the middle of the night and the mailman was watching you. You said that you knocked something over and when you looked up, it was gone. Honey, are you seeing it again?" "No, Mom." And at that moment, it wasn't a lie. 2 days later, I was painting my toenails for the homecoming dance the next day. The TV was flashing across my face wildly and the overhead light in the fan flickered quickly. I looked up at the fan and outside at the darkening night. Instead of the Benz's backyard, I was met with the dark outline of the mailman. I screeched and nearly fell off my bed from the shock that ran through my body.
"You're real."
My voice was a mere whisper. It just stared. He just stared. He pressed his noseless face to the window, and I scrambled up onto the comforter. I crawled slowly across the blanket and was just about to reach the window when a crack of thunder sounded outside and the mailman vanished again. My dance was short, and when I got home that night, heels hurting, my feet and shoulders aching from holding them around tall boys' necks, I collapsed in my bed. I didn't have the energy to shake when I spotted the mailman in the window. He had his featureless face cocked to the side. "What do you want?" I whispered, dress falling to the floor and wrapping myself in my covers. And I swear, as I cuddled into my blankets and closed my eyes, I could feel, not hear, a voice brushing my mind and saying, "You." The next time the mailman graced me with his presence was last night. It's been almost a whole month since I had seen him. I was stretched out in my bed and he was at the window again. I rolled over onto my side, facing the window, and sighed, "You're back." The strange feeling washed over me again, the weird brushing of my mind, and I could hear a deep male voice say, "I want you." I shook my head and answered quietly, "You can't have me." I was so strangely calm and plain okay with what was happening. He pressed closer to the window, so close to just melting into it, and repeated, "I want you." "Why?" I retorted, pulling the blankets around me tighter. "Let me in," he demanded. I shook my head again and rolled over, my back to it. Is it going to come back again tonight? What do I do? I'm nearly in tears at the moment typing this. Please, if you have any idea what's happening, let me know. I don't know what to do, but I'm terrified. I'm so afraid it's a demon or something that wants to kill me. I don't even know if it's a ghost. Why am I so calm around it? Why is it that when it leaves, I'm so afraid and scared? What does it want from me? The worst part is, I don't even know what to do with this fear. How do you face something that doesn't even feel like it's real? I've tried to convince myself it's just stress or some weird psychological thing that's taking hold of me. But deep down, I know something's off. There's no explanation that fits, and I feel like I'm going crazy. The more I try to ignore it, the more it feels real. Last night was the worst yet. It started out, like all the others, sitting in my room, trying to distract myself, mindlessly flipping through channels on the TV. Then the fan flickered, just like before. I thought it was nothing, but it was there again. The shadow, the figure. It didn't just appear outside the window this time. No, this time it was inside the house. I could feel its presence before I even saw it. A heavy air, a sense of something lurking right there in the corner of the room. I could feel it watching me. At first, I thought I was imagining it, but I turned my head and saw him standing in the doorway. I froze. I couldn't move. He was taller than I remembered, almost unnaturally so. That wide-brimmed hat, the shape of him like a silhouette of pure darkness. It was all wrong. The outline was sharp, precise, but there were no details, no eyes, no skin, no face. He just stood there, watching. I wanted to scream, but my voice felt trapped inside me. All I could do was stare back, my heart pounding in my chest. I kept hoping that if I looked away, if I just blinked, he would disappear, but he didn't. He didn't even move. It was like he was waiting for something, watching, waiting for me to do something, or maybe waiting for me to say something, but I couldn't. I couldn't speak, couldn't move, couldn't break the spell he seemed to have over me. The room felt suffocating, the silence deafening. Then, just like that, he took a step forward. My body reacted before my mind could catch up, and I jumped back into my bed, pulling the covers over my head, shivering. I don't even know how long I stayed there. Just laying still, waiting for something to happen. The next thing I knew, the feeling was gone. The air felt lighter, like something was finally lifting. But when I peeked from under the covers, he was gone. I got up cautiously, checked the window, nothing. I checked the door. Nothing. The room felt empty again, but I knew it wasn't over. The next day, I tried to convince myself that it was just my mind playing tricks on me. Maybe it was a hallucination. Maybe I had been too tired. But when I opened the photo album again, I found another picture. One I hadn't seen before. A new photo buried deep in the pages. I don't know how it got there, but there it was. It was a picture of me at the tea party again, but this time the mailman wasn't just sitting at the table. He was standing behind me. His tall, shadowy form loomed over me, like he was part of me, like he was always there, watching. But what really caught my attention was the detail, his face. For the first time I could see it, it wasn't featureless anymore. There were eyes, dark, hollow eyes, staring back at me through the shadows. I tried to throw the photo away, but I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Something kept me from getting rid of it, like if I did, the presence would follow me forever, or worse, disappear and leave me stranded, alone. So I shoved it back into the album and left it there. That night, things were different. The air was thick with something I couldn't explain. The figure didn't appear outside the window, and he didn't come to the doorway. This time, it was worse. He was in my room. I woke up in the middle of the night, the blankets tangled around me, my heart pounding. I didn't see him at first, but I could feel him there, like he was standing right next to me. I reached out, slowly, cautiously, to the side of the bed, feeling for something, anything to reassure me it was just a dream. But then I felt it. Cold. Freezing cold. The touch was like ice, and for a split second, I could feel something in my hand. It was smooth and solid, like a letter. A note. I pulled my hand back quickly, but when I looked at it, there was nothing there. The air felt so cold, and I could hear the deep voice in my mind again, that same quiet whisper, "Let me in." I could barely breathe. I thought I might faint. And in that moment, I realized that this wasn't just some shadow in the corner of my mind. This was real, and it wasn't going away. I don't know how much longer I can do this. Every night it feels like it's getting worse, like he's getting closer. What does he want from me? Why is he doing this? I can't stop thinking about it. I just want it to end. But at the same time, I can't shake the feeling that if it does end, something worse might happen. What if he's not just a shadow? What if he's something much more sinister? What if he's never going to leave? What am I supposed to do? Bobby, it's hard to know where to begin when the lines between what is real and what is imagined blur so completely. In the case of Bobby, what started as a simple, albeit unsettling, childhood memory seems to have evolved into something much darker, something far more dangerous than a ghostly apparition. There's a psychological toll here, a slow unraveling of certainty. And it's in these moments of doubt, those fragile, fleeting moments where the world around you feels unsteady, that the terror really begins to take root. The mailman could easily be dismissed as a figment of a disturbed mind, a shadowy manifestation of unresolved fears, perhaps, or even the echoes of a troubled past. But what if it's something else? What if this entity, this figure who presses so close to the window, who whispers in the dark, exists outside the realm of mere human imagination? Could it be a manifestation of something older, something tied to the land or the house itself, something that feeds on fear and is waiting for its moment to strike? Or perhaps it's something much more insidious, a force that lives just beneath the surface, waiting for the perfect time to break through. What's most troubling is the calmness Bobby experiences in the face of terror. The mailman doesn't provoke the standard response of screaming or running away. No, there's a strange tranquility in their fear, a resignation that hints at something much deeper. This could be the mind's defense mechanism, an attempt to maintain control in a situation where none exists, or it could be the entity's influence. A slow, subtle manipulation of the mind that makes its presence feel less threatening, even comforting, until it's too late. Then again, we must consider the very real possibility that the presence has deeper ties to this person's history, something that transcends the paranormal and touches on unresolved emotional or psychological struggles. The nature of the mailman, an entity from the past, something that lingers in the shadows, may suggest that our pasts, no matter how buried or forgotten, never truly leave us. They wait quietly, just out of sight, until the time comes when we're vulnerable enough to see them again. But let's not forget the darker, more chilling possibility that this is no ghost, no figment of a troubled mind. What if the mailman isn't a ghost at all, but something more malevolent, a force that transcends death, a demon perhaps, or something far older? We'll never know the answer for sure. And that in itself is what makes this story so unnerving, because sometimes the scariest things are the ones that can never be explained. Whatever the mailman is, it's clear that it wants something from Bobby. But what? That's the lingering question. The one that hangs in the air long after the story ends. The truth may never come to light, but one thing is certain. Once you've seen the shadows for what they truly are, they never quite fade away. As for Bobby, the fight isn't over. There's a strange calmness that remains after each encounter, but the fear lingers, ever present. What will happen next? Will Bobby ever find peace? Or will the mailman return again and again, each time bringing them closer to a terrifying truth? Perhaps, like the shadows, some questions will never truly be answered. Thank you for joining us for tonight's episode. Until next time, stay vigilant and always keep a light on.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.